Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the last half of the gospel lesson, the baptism of our Lord Jesus, beginning at verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord given to us this blessed morning. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, what is the meaning of our Lord's baptism? The law did not require baptism. Baptism was not a moral custom of the Jews. Yet according to the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus was baptized, using Jesus' own words, to fulfill all righteousness. This morning we hear in the Gospel according to St. Mark that he omits these words. Rather, Mark completely focuses on what happened when Jesus was baptized. What Mark is emphasizing for us this morning concerning our Lord's baptism may be expressed with the theme of our sermon this morning, and as you kind of heard with the children's message also, our Lord's baptism means God is well pleased with you. God is well pleased with you. Because of Jesus' baptism, he began his work of saving you. Jesus didn't need it to be saved. Jesus himself was sinless. Jesus had no reason to confess his sins. He had no sin to confess. Unlike those being baptized by John, unlike you and me, Jesus was perfect, sinless, as we hear in the text, and as God himself, the Father, confirms, he is the Son of God. Unlike John, who clearly admitted that he wasn't even worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of Jesus' sandal, but rather, as John tells us in the book of Matthew, it is he who should be baptized by Jesus. Yet Jesus comes to him to be baptized. Why? What's the meaning of your Lord's baptism? Jesus began his saving work, his work of saving you and saving me and saving the whole world, by walking into the River Jordan. And as he walked into the River Jordan and was baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus took the whole sin, all sins, your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world, onto himself. As John was soaking him with the river water, Jesus was being filled with sin, the sin of the whole world. At that font, the font that many of you were baptized at, you were being cleansed by water. Yet at our Lord's baptism, your sins were being washed unto him. Then, my friends, have you ever thought of this? For the next 3 years, Jesus carried your sin, my sin, and the sins of the whole world. Those 3 years that he was teaching, those 3 years that he was preaching, healing and casting out demons, Jesus was carrying the sins of the world. And he was carrying those sins for the payment of the whole world. And the payment came due. It was time to pay up, if you will, at a place called the skull. Golgotha, Calvary. Here, Jesus paid for your sin and my sin. The sins that he carried with him ever since he stood in the River Jordan, they were paid right here. Thanks be to Jesus. As the Lamb of God, by the way, those were the very words that John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus walking toward him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, there is no other Lamb. There is no other one by whose name you may be saved. There is only one Messiah. There is only one Christ, and his name is Jesus. And as that Lamb of God, Jesus offered himself as the final sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, the vicarious sacrifice for your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. It's because of your Lord's baptism, where he began his work of redemption, that your Heavenly Father can also say to each and every one of you, I am well pleased. You are my beloved, and I am well pleased with you. Whether your parents here on this earth disapprove of you, whether your friends disapprove of you, whether your siblings disapprove of you, it doesn't matter, because God says to you, because of what my Son has done right here, I approve of you. You are my beloved. You are safe and secure in my kingdom. Thanks be to Jesus. Because at his baptism, God accepted Jesus for the work of salvation. Our Father proclaimed there at the River Jordan that he accepted Jesus' work. And he did this by first tearing open the heavens. It's interesting that in some translations you don't get that sense. The word is schizomenos. Schizomenos, to rip open. By the way, does that remind you of something? Something being ripped open from top to bottom? The heavens were ripped open because you now have access to God's kingdom because of the one man who stood in the River Jordan, because of the one man who hung here upon his bloody cross. The curtain was ripped open top to bottom. You have access to your Father, and you have access to him because he is your beloved Father, and you are his beloved child. You see, before you and I were baptized, we were children of perdition. We were vile, vicious, rebellious children. We had no right to the heavens. We had no right to God's kingdom. Heaven was closed to us. Closed to us because of our sin. Because of our open rebellion against a faithful and just and loving God. Open rebellion against our Creator. As you heard in the Old Testament reading this morning, there is but one Creator, just as there is but one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when Adam and Eve rebelled, that sin also, because we are born of man, fell upon us also. We bear the same sin, the same rebellion. But in the mercy and grace of your loving Father, there, at that font, that sin was washed away. You are no longer children of perdition. You are no longer children of the devil. You are children of a loving and gracious and merciful God. Because of what Jesus has done for each and every one of you, heaven is now open to you. Torn open, ripped open, just like the veil that covered the Holy of Holies. You have open and free access to a loving, merciful, and gracious God. Thanks be to Jesus. Our Father then proclaimed that he accepted Jesus by anointing him with the Holy Spirit, with power to carry out the work that he was about to accomplish. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Why a dove? Have you ever thought of that? Usually when we think of doves, we think of these pigeons that are flying around here, and they make a whole bunch of mess, don't they? For the farmers, they get into your feed, maybe. And if they don't get into your feed, they usually have habits of kind of congregating around places, in public places, and they leave a mess everywhere. But this dove is a dove that proclaims something very important about Jesus. You see, a dove in the ancient world was seen as a symbol of sacrifice. The Holy Spirit comes down upon Jesus, anointing him as the vicarious one, the one who will carry your sin and my sin to the cross. It identified Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, the anointed one, the one who will carry out the plan of salvation. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit where you also have been regenerated. There at the font, there you are sanctified. There's that kind of strange-sounding theological word, sanctification. And what it really means is, there at the font, you are set apart to do the work that your Heavenly Father lovingly gives to you, of proclaiming the gospel to all the world, to telling your friends and your family what God has done for you. Not what you do for God. Never, ever. It's always what God has done for me. His work of redemption for me and also for you, dear friend. Lastly, our Father proclaimed. He proclaimed with his own voice that he accepted the work of his Son. And he accepted his Son by saying that he is the Beloved One. When we say that one is beloved, it is one whom we accept. It is one of whom we want to be with. It's one of whom we desire. In Jesus, too, you are accepted by your Heavenly Father. Remember in the epistle lesson this morning, you were baptized into the death of Jesus. And since you have been baptized into his death, and since God has accepted Jesus' death, confirmed by his resurrection, you there too are accepted by a loving and just God. Again, thanks be to Jesus. My dear friends, we must never overlook the importance of our Lord's baptism. Jesus' baptism is so, so important for you and so, so important for the whole world. But it's not for himself. Jesus' baptism wasn't for him. It's for you. It's for me. It's for each and every one of us, for it's for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Because Jesus was baptized for your salvation, and because you have been baptized into this salvation, you have been baptized into his name. And therefore, we close with words that are so, so important for you, and so, so important for me and for Craig, and so, so important for the whole world, because of what Jesus did there in the River Jordan. Your sin was taken upon the Lamb of God, who went to his cross, and there at the cross, all your sin is forgiven. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.